buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. For the next 2 hours, the name of this show is Under the Hood with Mark and Alan Salem. And we're here to help you with your car questions. Now, your car questions, or let me just make it this way, our areas of expertise is I'm an ASE Master Tech and have been since 1991, so I'm really good with symptom analysis and estimates, and I have my cars doing this, what might it be, what might be some of the round number costs, stuff like that. Alan's really good with, if you're going to spiff up your truck and you want to know about programmers, tires, wheels, exhaust, cold air kits.
Suspension kits,
electric, what are those called? Sidesteps?
Yeah, running boards.
Running boards that go in and out, all that kind of stuff.
Tires. Yeah, specialize in tires. We both do, actually.
And tires and trailer tires and circumferences and diameters and how that affects your speedometer and all that kind of stuff. So if you have a question, it's easy. Call us up at 602-508-0960. Let me tell you, I got a voicemail from somebody that didn't leave their name, but I verified that this actually happened. This person says, I took my car to Whitey's Auto because I failed emissions. Folks, I want to tell you that Whitey's Auto is on our list of approved auto repairs. He's at Thomas and Civic Center, which is Scottsdale and Thomas, just east of Block and then just north of Block. Whitey's has been around. I think he and Bill Bridwell in Scottsdale actually knew Geronimo and Pancho Villa. They've been around that long.
But Columbus. Anyway,
and Columbus, yeah. So I took my car into Whitey's Auto because I failed emissions. After looking at the vehicle, they asked me if I had my transmission worked on, and I said yes. Whitey's told me that I should take it back to whoever built it because they left the sensor unplugged, and then that the sensor harness went against the exhaust and melted the harness. I was fully expecting to pay a diagnostic charge, and Whitey's didn't charge me. Today I took my car back to Quality Transmission. I fully expected a fight and at least a $300 bill. They shook my hand, they told me they were sorry, and they would take care of it. I picked up my car today, everything fixed, no charge. Thank you very much for your referrals. Folks, both of these shops did exactly what our industry says we should do. First of all, Whitey's didn't throw any rocks at the other shop. Whitey's didn't thump their chest and hop on the hood of the car and tell everybody that they're the very best and this transmission shop is terrible. They didn't do that. We don't do that as an industry. I do it sometimes, but I do it in the venue of radio and customer complaints, and I think I'm best suited to do that, and I prefer that our shops and my shop not do that. Quality Transmission, on the other hand, really and truly, they shook my hand, they told me they were sorry, I picked a car up, everything was fixed, no charge. We all make mistakes, and it's how you handle the mistake you make. It's nice to hear a shop say, we messed up, we're sorry, shake your hand, fix the car, fix it right, apologize again. That's what it's all about. So I want to say thank you, Whitey's, and I want to say thank you, Quality Transmission. Both of you guys make the best car repair shops. You make us different than the rest. Here's some news that you've never heard before. We have a new app out. It's 99 cents, and you can buy it for your smartphone, your Android phone, your Apple phone.
Yep.
And it's called Best Car Repair Shops in Phoenix. What this is it allows you, if you break down, to go into this app and find a shop that I recommend close by you. There are different colored balloons that identify the shops, and the different colors denote mechanical, transmission, or paint and body. So if you get into an accident, and I hope you're all right after the accident, and you don't want to have your car towed to a storage facility and then to a body shop, you might say, I think I'll just go and see who Mark recommends in this area, and when the car tow truck comes, I'll say, take it to Phoenix Body Works, take it to Envision, take it to Raintree. That's how it works. It's 99 cents. Here's my promise to you. If you don't like the app, come on by Salem Boys, that's the name of my shop, and we'll give you your dollar back. we're convinced that this is a really, and what it is it's just an app that actually reflects what we have on our website, marksalem.com. And we talk about the shops, we give you pictures of the shops, but the app is just something that's kind of nice if you get stuck in a part of town, whether your car breaks down, and the next thing we're going to add is towing.
Okay, yeah.
We're going to add some tow trucks in there that are promised to treat you fairly and not gouge you and take advantage of you. So we're working on that right now, but towing is an important consideration. So best car repair shops in Phoenix, 99 cents, and I think it's worth it. As you may imagine, most of your 99 cents goes to someone else. And so this is not anything that's going to make me in Talcott, and I promise you, but we are going to take all the proceeds of, I think we make 70 cents of this, of the 99.
Right.
All the proceeds and fold them right back into letting you know about the very best car repair shops. And here's my promise. My promise is that I have $5,000 of my money that if you follow my dispute resolution process, which involves the Better Business Bureau, and at the end of the arbitration, the arbitrator instructs the shop to either make a refund or fix your car, and the shop refuses, I will fix your car up to $5,000, or I will make a refund up to $5,000. So I've got you covered. I want to tell you, since 1988, when we first started this, we've never paid a dime, and we've never even been to the third level of the arbitration process. And that's because the shops know it well before the end of the day, whether they're right or they're wrong. And most of the time, and not most of the time, some of the time, the complainer never makes it past level one at the Better Business Bureau, where they say, we don't believe your complaint has merit. You're missing some important components, and you're making lots of suppositions, and so we're going to close your complaint. It seems to us that the shop's response and evidence is overwhelming, and it supports their side. Now, first let me tell you that I have to deal with a Better Business Bureau complaint maybe once a year, and we have 40 or 50 shops. So it's not really that big of a deal. I've picked the very best.
Well, the name of the app is Best Car Repair Shops in Phoenix, and it's available at the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store.
Either one. And it, like I said, it's 99 cents. The rules on these apps are, first of all, the cost of the app is astounding. It's a very expensive process, but well worth it. We are very happy with our website madam who handled this for us, Betty Heim. What a perfect person to handle this for us. But then once you get the app, then you have to clear it with all the different people like Google.
Apple and Google, and so
you have to, they have to look at it to make sure it's okay. This process has been almost a year in making, and we just got approval, and now it's available, and we're glad because we wanted to do it this year. So, if you're interested in that, that's something that you can put on your phone, and if not, then at least you know that it's still there at marksalem.com. So, what's new in your world?
Oh, you know, same stuff, staying busy. Got a lot of different stuff going on.
We were in a meeting not too long ago, and I'm on my way to Vegas, as you know, on Sunday,
yep,
to speak to the Chrysler dealerships at the we have the largest automotive show probably in the world.
It's the second largest.
Second one?
Second largest convention in the world, second to only CES in any aspect.
Okay.
It's huge.
So there's two different venues in Las Vegas. There's the SEMA part, special.
How does that Equipment Manufacturers Association?
That's it.
Yeah.
Special Equipment, which is where Alan spends his time, because that's the chrome, the turbochargers, the superchargers, the exhaust, the tires, the wheels, the performance. All that add-on stuff is on the SEMA side. On the other side, what we call Apex side, is the aftermarket side, and that's where I live. I live in that world where we have car dealers and we have independent repair shops, we have chain stores, we have specialty shops. And as I walk through that, it'll take me 4 days to walk the Apex show. And in those 4 days, I will be able to shake hands with the engineers that build the parts that I buy. I'll be able to talk with the marketing people. I'll be able to ask questions. And so this is a real opportunity for those of us that install the parts to actually talk to the guys that make the parts. Speaking of making the parts,
yep,
this is something that comes up all the time. We still today have people come in, and it's okay. we're not mad at you, that want only Honda parts and Toyota parts.
Factory parts, yep.
Yep, they just want factory parts. And see, in our industry has created this problem because we have two different names for a part. It's either Chevrolet part, Ford part, or a factory part, or an OEM part.
Right.
Original equipment manufacturer. OEM stands for original equipment manufacturer part. Or we have the aftermarket part. Okay, I want to draw your attention to this airbag recall. I think all of you have seen that there's between 8 and 13 different cars involved. We have a Japanese company, Takuwa or something like that, who owns a factory in Mexico that makes airbags for 8 to 13 different makes of cars. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, there is nothing on your Honda, Toyota, Chevrolet, Ford, Chrysler, Mitsubishi, Kia, Hyundai, nothing that is made in a factory that says their name. They subcontract everything. Your car is made, has, you have a, as much of a chance of your car being made by Ford as you have if you bought, and I'm going to use, give me the name of an old famous home that was in the valley.
Canal.
Okay, that's a good one. Canal used to make homes in the 70s, 80s, and the 90s. So you bought a Canal home. You didn't buy a Canal home. Canal bought the property. They had their people do the plans. And then they hired 30 different subcontractors, plumbers. They built your house. There was no person on site that was by the name of Canal. And there is no company that built your house other than one company hired a whole bunch of other companies to build your house. It's the same way with your car. Not too long ago, there was a young lady who had a Kia with an engine failure, and the engine failed, and when the car was towed into the Kia dealership in Kingman, they immediately raised their hand and said
1 minute
that they're going to void the warranty because she did not have a Kia oil filter on it. It had a Purolator oil filter on it. I was involved because legal people got involved, and I was hired, and I came up with a picture in a factory in Korea with a pallet of Kia filters, and right next to it was a pallet of Purolator filters, and they were both coming from the same factory. It's the same filter, different paint. You know what the only difference is when it comes to an import and a domestic oil filter?
You've told me, so I know. Yeah.
All right, well, don't say it now because I'm up against a break, so I'm going to tell you after the break, but there's one difference. Beside the paint on the can, there's one difference between an import, an Asian, Japanese car, a Korean car, all the import cars, there's one difference between their filter and a domestic filter, which is Chevy, Ford, Chrysler, those kinds of cars. So I'll tell you about that in just a minute. We'll be right back in about two or three minutes. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour at 8 o'clock, or 10 o'clock. 21 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. The phone number, 602-508-0960. If you have any car questions, car problems, car comments, if you want to talk about what size motorhome to buy, we can help you with that. We can do lots of stuff. All you have to do is ask us, 602-508-0960. Okay, we were talking about the difference in the same oil filter but having different paint on it from 10 different manufacturers. What's the difference between a domestic oil filter and an import oil filter? And the answer is the gasket. The import oil filter typically has a gasket that's like an O-ring and it's round. So when you put it on the face of the oil filter housing and as you tighten it up, you're going to flatten the round O-ring. The domestic oil filters have a square O-ring. So it's square on the top, the sides, and the bottom, unlike the import that's round. So when you tighten that up, you actually already have two flat surfaces, and you're going to squeeze those two flat surfaces together. And that's the difference. Every single oil filter that you can possibly buy anywhere in Phoenix is going to pass minimum standards. There's a couple of them out there that you can pay two, three, four, five times a regular oil filter price for what they call, you know, heavy duty protection. Hold on a minute. What'd you say?
A premium oil filter. Or what they call premium.
Yeah. And I think, it would be it would be a good idea if you were to say to someone like me who has more than the average bear's information and knowledge about oil filters, Mark, do you put those $15 and $20 premium oil filters on anything you own? And the answer is, heck no. When we start talking about microns, you're talking about a millionth of an inch. The water I feed my family goes through a 5-micron filter. The oil filters go up to 20 microns, so that's 20 millionths of an inch. That's 20 and then 1 million. So I suggest to you that I'm quite sure I wouldn't hurt anybody in my family if I put a 20 micron filter on the wells at our ranch. But I have a 5 micron. And I want to tell you, your oil filter, if it goes to 20 and then somebody says, well, I'm going to make it a 10, it really doesn't make any difference at all. And the oil filter, when it gets plugged up, and frankly, I think I've seen 5 of plugged up oil filters in my life, and I've been working on cars since 1970. I got my first job at a gas station in 1970. So when you look at that big picture, you say to yourself, it's just not worth it. There's no benefit, but it's just marketing. We have one t-shirt that's $8. Then we have one that's 100% cotton, that's 10. And then we have one that's really fancy.
Egyptian cotton. That's $22.
Have you seen those?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. I thought you really knew something.
No.
Okay. So those are the kinds of things there is. It's just like cars. You got the real basic cars, you got the middle line cars, and then you got the premium cars.
You got the Tahoe, you got the Denali, and then you've got the Escalade.
Exactly.
They get you from point A to point B. Some are just a little bit fancier, but they do the same thing.
And oftentimes the part, well, not even oftentimes, most of the time, I would say 80% of the parts are common throughout those three lines.
Absolutely. I would even say more than 80%. Absolutely.
And the only difference would be is if you have a leather or cloth interior,
right,
that's going to be a difference.
Right.
And then there's going to be certain things on the dashboard that, yep, are going to be different. But when you talk about tie rod ends and, mm-hmm, brake pads and rotors and tires and wheels, brake lines, when you talk about motor mounts, that's all the same.
I think if you took the body off those things and had just a bare frame of
with the engine and transmission,
with the engine and transmission in it, if you took off the sheet metal, I don't think you could tell the difference.
So, and what we're going to visually tell you is, you take the body off the car. You set the body over here with all the seats in it and the dashboards and the windows and stuff. Now you have the frame sitting on the tires and wheels, and you got the engine, the transmission, the differential. In that point, they pretty much all share the same thing. Now, I tell the story that one time we were ordering lug nuts and studs, which holds the wheel on the car. Lug nuts and studs, we had a problem with one of them had broken or somebody had stripped one, whatever. Maybe even we caused it. I don't remember. But we were going to replace 5 studs and 5 lug nuts on a Lexus. And the parts department came out to me and said, you're not going to believe this, but there's a significant difference if I order it for a Camry or if I order it for a Lexus. And they showed me the documents. They had printed it off of our electronic ability to order those parts. And sure enough, it was 3 times as much. So just round figure, now I don't remember what the number was. The Camry lug nut was $1, and then the stud was $1. So $2 each times 5. The other ones were $2 and $3 each. And the difference simply was is how you ordered the part.
And I'll bet you that Lexus one came in a Toyota bag.
Oh, they both came in Toyota
bags.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
So my point is that when you take your car to a repair shop, wherever it's at, you just ask them, it's okay to ask them what kind of parts you're going to put on my car. Because we, all of us know what our preferences are. If you come to our shop and you're going to want front end work, we're going to put suspension components by Moog. If we're going to do gaskets, they're going to be by Felpro. If it's going to be a water pump, we're going to look for a good rebuild from a major company. On and on and on. If you want a new water pump, that's fine. We'll find one in a new box for you. But in reality, it's absolutely no better, and it's a whole lot more money than the rebuilt one. And the rebuilt one, if there's been a change to the water pump components for the better, maybe they have a redesigned seal. The rebuilt water pump is more likely to have the upgrade than the new one that's been sitting in the box, perhaps maybe for a little longer.
And keep in mind, too, we have to warranty the parts that we're putting on your car. So we don't want to change them just as much as you don't want us to change them two or three times. So we're going to use, we're going to use parts of, we have to warranty these things. So we don't want to put crap on the car.
And we can't speak for everybody in that, though, because there are shops out there
that are
just buying the cheap. Now, because of electronic catalog ordering, folks, I can log in to the dealer, to Factory Motor Parts, which you can't buy from. It's a warehouse, so it's only going to sell to guys like me, to, Parts Authority, Napa,
USD.
CarQuest, USD, O'Reilly's, AutoZone,
World Pack.
We can log on to all of those and find the same part and order it the cheapest way. There are some guys that do that. For me, I would prefer to have a relationship with some really good warehouses and at least pick and choose my way through their lines. So if one of them, if warehouse A has Felpro but warehouse B doesn't, and I want Felpro gaskets, I'm going to buy all my gaskets from warehouse A. So that's kind of what you have. Here's another attaboy. I love these attaboys. I had my car serviced at Thompson's Auto Repair in Mason and would like to say that everything you say about them on the radio is true. I gave them carte blanche to check a few things after having taken care of the reason I bought the car in the first place, which was spark plugs for my Lexus. They did not try to upsell me. They were very honest. I asked them to check the serpentine belt, and they said, you don't need one. It's in very good shape. I asked them to check the front brakes, and they said, the way you put mileage on the car, they should last for 6 months or more. Let's just look at them again in 6 months. And the manner they treated me, I would recommend them to anyone. They were very nice people to deal with. That's Thompson's Auto Repair, Main Street in Mesa, just east of Stapley on the south side of the road. Two or three generations deep. They've been around since the 60s in Mesa. So they're run by Brian and Thelma, husband and wife. And when you meet Brian and Thelma, you'll say to yourself, Mark was right. They are a wonderful couple to deal with. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. Mark Salem and Alan Salem here at your service. We're here talking about cars. The name of the show is Under the Hood. We talk a good story about self-defense for car expense. So if you have a question, we can help you out with that. The phone number is 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. 508-0960 right here on 960 AM, The Patriot, KKNT. And this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. It's been a trusted name for auto repair in the Phoenix area since 1967. And that's a common theme with the best car repair shops in Phoenix, is we've got people that have been around 30, 40, and 50 years. And there's a reason they've been around for 30, 40, 50 years, and that's because they're honest, they're dependable, and they have great reputations. Just like Larry Harker's, they're fast, they have affordable services, they do auto electric work, they have brake service work, auto emissions work, vehicle maintenance work, all kinds of repair work they do. And here's a great thing about Larry Harker's, and if they're not the best to handle it, then they'll send you to someone who is. They handle all areas of car repair on domestic and foreign cars. So, located at 38th Avenue and Indian School Road, I'm very proud to recommend Bob and Ellen at Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Alrighty, we're going to go to, what were we talking about before?
We're talking about parts and the different parts for the vehicle.
Yeah. One of the things that there are, about 25% of the parts that we buy today, and this goes for every shop out there, has to come from the dealers. I have the opportunity, I'm going to leave Sunday afternoon, and I'm going to speak to the parts managers of the Chrysler dealerships in Las Vegas.
Okay, at the Apex show.
Yeah, yep. At the Apex show. I've been asked by Chrysler to address them. I also get to park my brand new Dodge truck that's painted or that's been wrapped like an American flag. I get to park it out front of the hotel. So I have to clean the bugs off of it before I valet park it because they wanted it out front. And because it's a Chrysler thing.
Well, okay? Yeah, and it grabs attention like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me about that.
I can imagine.
Everyone knows where I'm at every minute of my life. This was not the best idea for anonymity.
Oh, no.
I mean,
no,
I can be at Bash's and somebody will call me and say, hey, what row are you in? What do you mean? I'm in the bread row. Well, I just saw your truck, so I pulled in. You know, it happens all the time. But what's really nice about the Chrysler folks is I'm not making any money on this. I'm not charging them anything. But what I'm trying to do what they want me to do is talk about our relationship with the dealers.
Right.
The dealers obviously have parts available, and it's the onesie twosie, very not popular parts that I need from them that I can't buy from any other vendor.
Right.
It doesn't mean they're made by Chrysler. It just means that they have a box and that part's in it.
Right.
That offend some of the other shop owners, but it just aggravates. They let us get away with murder sometimes. After a shop, and even my own shop, after one of my guys orders the third computer
right.
for a car, it's not the computer.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
Right.
We are on the wrong track. We are chasing our tails. We are way out of our range of expertise, and they'll continue to send us computers.
Right.
And they'll continue to warranty the computers when in reality either we made the computer bad or it's not bad, but we don't even have a clue.
Right.
Another thing that they do that bothers me a lot is they'll warranty a fan belt that's been damaged by the alternator seizing up.
Right.
Now, the fan belt's not defective because of the way it was made, and it's defective because something else caused it to fail.
Correct.
That's just collateral damage.
It's a byproduct of
yeah. the damage.
Yeah.
So your alternator seizes up, and because your car has 100,000 miles on it, the alternator seizes up and it burns the belt off of it. Well, I don't have... What's another word for I don't have the chuzba? I mean, I don't have what it takes to return a belt that's been burnt off because of an alternator and ask them to warranty it. That's an embarrassing thing for me.
Yeah.
I can't. But they'll do that.
Yeah.
And what happens is those kinds of returns are factored into the pricing. So
sure.
all of us pay that price
mm-hmm.
because they warranty that belt when really they can't return it to the manufacturer.
Phone number.
That's not it. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960 if you have any comments, questions. And when we come back, we're going to talk more especially about symptoms and how important it is with symptoms. I had a friend, as a matter of fact, an attorney friend of mine call me, and he said, I want to bring my car in, and he has a clicking noise when he first starts his car.
Okay.
And I gave him some things to do. And he said, why don't I just bring it to you? And I said to him, Tim, if you do these things, you'll save yourself a bunch of money in diagnostic time. And boy, I got his attention then.
Yeah.
So when we come back, we'll talk about what you can do under the same circumstances. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Let me tell you about Kurtz Auto Repair real quick. Kurtz is a proud to be an independent, family-owned, operated auto repair facility that focuses on the needs of their customers. Since they opened their doors in 1987, Kurtz Auto Repair has been working on both domestic and import cars, both gas and diesel. They have ASE-certified technicians, which means your vehicle is going to be diagnosed and repaired by not only a well-trained but a certified professional. Kurtz believes that an excellent auto repair facility is more than just a repair. It's about making certain that the customers receive the best treatment and have a mechanic and a technician they can trust. Kurtz Auto is located at I-17 and Bell Road, northeast corner. I-17 and Bell, northeast corner. And one of the things I can't go and tell you about Kurtz without telling you that when you're a first-time customer, at some portion in the next day or so, his wife's going to come and knock on your door and bring you some homemade goods to say thank you for trusting us to fix your car. Something that we used to see back in the 60s and the 70s, but we haven't seen since then. But Kurtz brings that back and says, that's the way we want to say thank you. So it's an important consideration if you live in that area. Daryl, good morning to you. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. A couple months ago, I have a 2006 Silverado 4x4 that I purchased, and unfortunately the transmission had gone out. And I went over to Quality Transmission.
Okay.
And the guys are stellar. Couldn't be happier with your promoting them. The guy was very nice, especially the gentleman, ex-Vietnam fly guy.
Oh, Bob Jones.
Yeah, had a very, and everything's fine, and I tell people that very good shop. It's very small. If you blink your eye, you could drive by it, but I highly recommend them. But I have a question for you. I called your store, your shop up, and you do not rebuild transmissions, but at least that's what I was told, but you use Jasper, rebuild transmissions?
We do.
All right, why the price difference between the Jasper out of your shop and the price difference with quality, it wasn't that much. They upgraded to, quality upgraded to some heavier parts and some odds and ends. But why, I guess the question is, why would you have sent me over to quality transmission as opposed to saying, well, we'll put a Jasper in for you?
Okay, that's a good question. That's a great question. I'm not afraid of hard questions. We don't rebuild them because it takes a, you have to designate a significant portion of your shop to what we call the R&R area, which is remove, repair, and reinstall. So the transmission comes out, and then you have to have this big cold fire, big huge washing machine to fit a transmission in. Then you wash it, and it goes on this big long table that has drains because the transmission is full of fluid. So you're going to take it apart until no two pieces have contact. And then at the other end of that long bench is a rebuilder. And so he's going to take the part and look at it and condemn it or replace it. He's going to reassemble it. From there, it gets painted. And from there, the R&R guy puts it back in the transmission. So you have this infrastructure that I don't have room for. So Jasper builds engines, transmissions, differentials, transfer case out of the east. And they ship, and they have a huge warehouse in Kingman. And so they ship to Kingman through rail lines, and I order from the factory in Kingman. There are people who want someone to rebuild their transmission, and then there's people who say, what happens if that transmission shop goes out of business and I lose my warranty with them, where with Jasper, you don't. So there's good and bad. The reason why, and I'm proud of my shop sending you to quality for another estimate, is because we have your interest in front of our own, and we're saying to you, we're going to do Jasper in and out, flush the cooler, fill it with fluid, and give you this warranty for this much money. We want to make sure that they're not going to be substantially less than we are, and if they're close to we are, or if they're above us or below us, you can take your pick, and we know whatever you pick will be good for you. Now, quality's not going to go out of business. Salem Boys isn't going to go out of business, but the difference is the Jasper's been around for like 40 years. And here's what Jasper does to ensure their customers are well taken care of. They have a procedure they insist that we follow to ensure, for instance, we have to flush the tranny cooler on your truck. If your transmission fails, it sends metal into the cooler. Unless we replace or we flush that appropriately, when we put the new transmission in, all we're going to do is take all that metal and put it in your new one. So they won't take one back if it comes back with metal in it. They're not going to warranty it. Mark, you have to buy another one, they're going to tell me. So they hold our feet to the fire. But our focus was what's in your best interest. And because we don't know what quality is going to charge you to rebuild yours with an updated torque converter, with an updated valve body, we want you to go do that work so that you can best check, you can best decide what you want to do. So I think that answers your question. And if I dance too much, tell me.
No. The question I had was that you were talking about Jasper's warranty. The one thing like about quality.
Caller Al.
Apparently, they are tied into a nationwide transmission that honors a 2-year warranty on it. So,
well, that's the Automatic Transmission Rebuilders Association, ATRA. Right. That's true. You get a 2-year warranty. I think the Jasper gives you 1 year.
I don't know. They're all kind of different. Some are 1 year unlimited. Some are 2 year 100. Some are 3 year 100. Some are they're all different. No,
but no, you're right. And thank you for correcting me, because if quality, God forbid, if something were to happen to quality and Bob decided to go out of business tomorrow, your transmission would still have an ATRA warranty on it, and you could go to another ATRA facility in Phoenix and they would handle your warranties. With Jasper, I handle the warranties and they send me the parts. And send me the part means if I order it on Tuesday, I have it by Wednesday. So.
All right. Well, I just wanted to, like I said, I started out the conversation by saying that you recommended quality. I went with them and I was very, very comfortable with them.
Well, good. But let me ask you a question. Was it worth the extra time to get into that comfort zone that you knew Salem was this much, quality was this much, quality did a couple of extra things that Salem didn't have, and the price was so close together, or the price was whatever it is, that it was worth the time for the comfort zone? Would that be a fair statement?
Fair statement. The answer would be, here we go, I'm throwing it back on you. On your recommendation, how well they rebuild transmissions.
Okay.
I guess I could say I took my comfort zone from you.
And that's, I want my staff. You see, here's the difference. Unlike many other shops, my service writers work for the customer. So I want you, my service writers, highly compensated professionals, I want you to take care of the customer and protect them from the guys in the shop. Exactly. That's what the service writer at my facility, his job is to take care. He's an advocate for my customer. So I am not mad in the least bit that one of them or somebody in my organization suggested that you also get an estimate from Quality Transmission. That's what we're all about. And I can say that half the shops that I really admire have the same focus. So, thank you for bringing that up. Thank you very much.
It's simple. If you're going to be well served at a different shop, we're going to recommend that shop. I mean, I've had numerous things that if I think you're going to be better served somewhere else, I'm going to send them there. Yeah, absolutely.
We want to be your hero, whether we get your money or not. We just want to be your hero. Let me tell you about speaking about heroes. Let me tell you something that really works for me. As soon as I find the paperwork. Phoenix Body Works wants to remind us that there's a new trend honoring our veterans, and that is wear red on Fridays. Phoenix Body Works is asking you to wear a red shirt or a red ribbon on Fridays to show support for our veterans. All of us believe our vets deserve just to see how much we appreciate their sacrifice for defending our great nation. Remember, Veterans Day is right around the corner, and remember to wear red on Fridays. Everyone at Phoenix Body Works, which is at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road, wears a specially designed red t-shirt every Friday. Phoenix Body Works designed these red, one-of-a-kind shirts that say, Home of the Free, Because of the Brave. Now, they'll sell you one of these shirts for $20. Phoenix Body Works, 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley, $20. But all the proceeds go to the Wounded Warrior Project, which means that Greg is paying out of his own pocket to make the t-shirts. He's selling them to you for $20. But he's not taking his expenses out. He's given all $20 to the Wounded Warrior Project. And there's another great organization that really helps our veterans, and it's called friendsoffreedom.us. friendsoffreedom.us. So take a moment and visit their website to see all the projects they have and to see where you might fit to help our veterans. And if you'd like to donate money or time, either one, that would be appreciated. So this message has been brought to you by Phoenix Body Works, located at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road.
I've worn a red t-shirt, or a red work shirt, every Friday for the last 7 years.
No kidding?
Yeah. Every Friday.
I didn't notice that.
Every Friday.
Of course, a lot of times, aren't you golfing on Friday?
Yeah, I know. And if, you know what? If I'm off on Friday, I'll wear it on Thursday.
Okay.
But yeah, I've worn a red shirt. You can tell what day it is by my red shirt on Friday. I was always under the impression it was a services thing.
Armed Forces.
Yeah, Armed Forces services thing, just to show your appreciation, period. So yeah, last 7 years, I've worn a red shirt every single Friday.
Okay. Well, I'll do the same thing. Al, good morning to you. How can we help you this morning, Al?
Good morning, guys. We were recently in an accident, and we're not sure if the car is totaled or not. We're thinking it is, because it's pretty bad front-end damage. Both bags are deployed. It's a CRV 2013. And but if for some reason it's not totaled, I just don't know what to look for.
Where's the car at now?
It's currently at a shop.
Okay.
So I don't know if they're going to do the work. It's just there for the adjusters and stuff.
Okay. Well, this is what's going to happen. No matter where it's at, it's going to have to end up at a shop. And the shop and the adjuster are both going to have an opportunity to review the car and to determine the extent of the damage. The shop and the adjuster will create their own estimates. Once those estimates are done, they're put into a software program that determines that this car won't be worth anything, so we're going to total it, or no, it's fixable, and we are not going to exceed, and every insurance company has a different number. We're not going to exceed 60% of the value, 70% of the value, 80% of the value.
Okay.
So what you do is you find, are you happy with the shop it's at?
Well, that's the question. I don't know, because I don't know what questions to ask, or if you're asking specific questions, or do I have to have him check the transmission, or I don't know.
No. It's his job to do this. So you call the Better Business Bureau, find out if the shop is a good shop.
Okay.
Find out if they have an A or a B rated. They should really have an A. Find out how long they've been in business. And ask your insurance company if that shop is one that they would recommend you're at.
Mm-hmm.
How did the car get to the shop?
The tow truck company.
Okay.
Recommended it.
Okay. All right. Go to marksalem.com and find a shop in my list of body shops that might be geographically close to you. And that might be your backup. But this decision is going to be made with little or no input from you.
Okay,
so you're going to have the body shop who wants to fix the car because they're going to make a lot of money, and then you got the insurance company who would much rather just write you a check.
Gotcha.
So you got two different people with two different agendas, and that's not bad for you. If you don't want to, if they don't total the car and you don't want it back, then sell it. Because once it's fixed, it'll look good. And you'll have the bill with all the parts, and you can pedal it, and it's not going to be a salvage title because it's been repaired. And if the shop does a good job, no one will be able to know it's been repaired. So those are the important considerations. But if I were you, if it's going to be fixed, I would certainly go to marksalem.com and look at one of my body shops and find one that's in the area of where you're at, because I can vouch for them. So, and
remember, you can have anyone you want fix it.
That's right. You don't have to go to where the insurance company or anybody else tells you. What bothers me is the tow truck guys usually are spiffed to bring those kinds of cars in, and I don't like that relationship. And I say usually. I don't know it was in the case of your car, but I say usually that when they recommend a car, then they're going to get spiffed for bringing it in. I just don't like that. So, 602-508-0960. If you have a question, we'll be back in about 4.5 minutes. 602-508-0960. On Salem here at your service, and if you'd like to join us, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. Bob and Steve of Quality Transmission are good guys. And yes, because they are geographically close to me, Bob is one of the transmission shops that I regularly suggest our customers get second estimates from. It doesn't make any difference if I'm involved in the estimate process or not. Now, if you live in the northwest part of town or the northeast part of town or the southwest part of town or central Phoenix, I have a different transmission shop for you. But Bob's my East Valley guy because that's where I'm at. So if you want a good guy, if you want a transmission diagnosis, the easiest and best thing to do is to simply stop by Quality and ask Bob or Steve to take a ride with you. And if you're good, you'll be prepared to show them what you're talking about. Maybe it shifts too rough. Maybe it's slipping into gear. Maybe the shift points are too early or too late. Those are that's the technical jargon that we use for shift problems. Maybe when you put it in reverse in the morning, it doesn't immediately go into reverse and that you have to sit there for a minute before it goes and it goes into reverse. Maybe that's what it is. One way or another, work hard at identifying the symptom, then take it over there because they don't charge you anything to drive with you, drive your car, or talk to you. They don't charge you anything. And most of the time, they can tell you exactly what's wrong. I was at a meeting the other night, and the transmission guys were talking, and Bob was there, and the consensus was is that the electronic solenoids are being pointed at by many shops unfairly. And the electronic solenoids are what makes your car shift from park to reverse to neutral to drive to low, et cetera, et cetera. One of them came up with something, and they were all shaking their heads laughing, because here's one of the tests that you need to do. This is a secret. Don't tell anybody.
We got three callers. First one up is David.
So if your car is acting up, all you want to tell your transmission shop is, can you put it in drive and go down the road at 5 miles an hour? And will it go into reverse and back up? That tells them so much about the electronics of the car. Because we can unplug the harness to the new electronic transmissions, and you should still have drive and reverse. Now, at drive, you're not going to be able to go very fast. But you're still going to have drive and reverse. If you don't have drive and reverse, that tells us something. And if you do have drive and reverse, it tells us something. So there's a tip for you when it comes to... And if your transmission shop looks at you with eyes like, what the heck are you talking about? You might want to find another one. But if you're looking for a good one, Quality Transmissions in Tempe on Hayden Road between McClintock, or on Hayden and McClintock, same road. And it's south of the 202 and north of University in Tempe. Dave, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Hey, good morning. I got a 69 Mustang Mach 1.
Okay.
It's been sitting for the last probably 10 years already.
Okay.
You'd be surprised how time flies on this deal. but anyway, I started the motor up a couple of years ago, and then now I want to go ahead and finish again.
Okay.
So the question is this, before I parked it, or actually stopped working on it, I put on a brand new crate motor.
Okay.
Had the transmission redone, the axles redone, steering's all done.
Okay.
Everything's redone on it, but it seems like every time I do these type of projects, I have more issues with brakes than anything else.
Okay, so what's the question, though?
Well, what's the best way to bring this thing back live?
Oh, well, that's easy. First, you're going to siphon all the gas out of it. And you're going to put a little bit in your wife's car, a little bit in your car, a little bit in your lawnmower. Just kind of spread it out amongst all the gasoline-powered stuff that you have.
It's been sitting too long today. It probably doesn't have nothing left in it.
Okay. So you're going to get it running, and you're going to fix whatever it takes to be able to drive it to Dairy Queen or to church. And around the block, a half a mile away, you're going to slowly, as you drive it more, then you're going to find problems, and you'll have to fix those problems, but some of them will go away with time, like leaks and hesitations. So to put it back on the road, the very first thing is you got to walk, you got to crawl, and then you got to walk, and then you trot, and then you run. So as you go through, as you drive this car, if you were to put it into primary service, then within 30 days, half the stuff that crops its ugly head up will go away, and some of the stuff will remain there, which is what you write down on your list, and you fix it. So there is no magic thing to do. It's a waste of your time and money to go in and start changing every fluid and doing spark plugs and doing fuel filters. That's a waste of money. That's a waste of time. Let's just deal with problems. So let's get it running. Let's get it to where it'll start on its own, that the battery is good, the alternator's charging the battery, that the fuel pump is priming the fuel system. Let's get all that working to where you can take it to the store, go in, get your stuff, come out, whether it's Bash's or an auto repair place or an auto parts store, and it comes out, it starts up, and you drive away. That's what you're interested in. And then when you get to the point where you really want to go to Tucson in it with the top down, or you want to go up north when it's got nice and cool, and you want to take your wife or your girlfriend or both of them, then that's going to be the major. And once you make that trip, then you have 100% confidence in the car. So I'm only going to tell you that about half of the problems that you're going to have in the first 30, 60 days will go away by themselves. And I'm talking about oil leaks, hesitations, hiccups, and extended cranking hot, extended cranking cold. Those kinds of things will go away because use will make them better. Does that help you?
Yeah, it's just, it seems like the proportion valve always seems to stick on me whenever I let these things sit for long periods.
Well, the proportioning valve, if you want to unstick the proportioning valve, that's easy. That's really easy. you pump the brakes up, and then you bleed a front one, and then you bump the brakes up, and you bleed a back one, and you go back and forth about three or four times, and the proportioning valve is now unstuck. Period. Take that to the bank.
Okay?
That's all you got to do. Front, rear, front, rear, front, rear. You're done. That's going to exercise the proportioning valve. All righty?
Call her Tony.
Good luck to you, buddy. Thank you very much. Tony, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. My daughter has a 2009 Subaru.
Okay.
And she's got about 70,000 miles on it.
Okay.
She replaced the struts and the rear shocks on it at about 65,000 miles.
Okay.
And she started to notice last week it pulled to the right.
Okay.
So she brought it into the shop where she had the work done and had them look at it. She was due for a little service anyhow.
I can tell the end of this story without you even telling, but go ahead.
Okay, so now what they're telling her is that they want to warranty the struts on the front and replace the strut mounting plates.
Uh-huh, the upper strut mounts.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm scratching my head saying, okay, if the upper strut mounts were bad, why didn't you know that, you know, a few months ago when you did all the work on it to begin with? And are they they're about $90 a piece or something like that.
So what's saying. How much do they want to put her back right?
$180 for the part.
Okay.
And they're gonna, you know, comp the labor and everything.
Okay, so just $280 for the parts.
$180 for the parts.
Okay.
Right.
Well, first of all, we've gone from our first date to being married 10 years in a period of 2 months, and I don't like that.
Right.
If you have a pull in a car, forget all the past work. There is a process, an industry process. The first thing we do is we air up all the tires and go drive it. The second thing we do is we swap and we put the left front on the right front and the right front on the left front. And then we go drive it. Guess how many cars I'm going to fix a pull in by either airing the tires or swapping and crossing the front tires. Guess what percentage of all the cars that have an alignment problem they think are fixed with air or swapping of the front tires?
More than half.
So, if I swap the front tires and it still pulls to the right, then I swap them back and it still pulls to the right, and I know the tire pressure's right, then I have an alignment issue.
Uh-huh.
None of that previous stuff was done, I bet. So, then we got a strut mount problem, and what they're saying is the strut mount is causing the car to pull to the right. If I could see some alignment specifications and where we are now versus where we should be, I could verify that.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't it have been nice if they would have handed you a printout from their alignment machine and say, look at this. Look at over here. This caster number is way out of whack. You'll notice it's red. And you'll notice that it's 3 degrees different than the left front. Now, when you have a caster problem, you will always pull to the more positive number. You notice over here it's 1, and over here it's 3 or 4 positive.
Uh-huh.
So this is your pull to the right, and this has everything to do with the upper strut mount. I only need to do 1. So, if you want me to do 2, I'll do it. But I don't know why they're warranty perfectly good shocks, because the shocks aren't going to be damaged by the upper mount. So I'm concerned about the whole diagnostic process doesn't make sense. And if this came from my shop, there would be hell to pay. Because we're not going to replace shock absorbers for any other reason. Maybe they're going to replace the shock absorbers and try to ask their vendor to pay that labor. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What you're telling me stinks.
Okay.
So I would get a second opinion about the problem. What part of town does she live in?
Well, she lives in Chandler.
Okay.
So she, she lives on the west side of Chandler.
Does she buy her tires from Discount Tire by chance?
She does.
Okay. She takes it into Discount Tire. Get it out of the shop. She takes it into Discount Tire and she says, "Would you check my tire pressure?" They say yes. Say, "Would you just cross my front tires for me, please?" And they will. Probably won't charge her a dime if she has her tires. And then she goes and drives it. One of three things will happen.
Phone number.
Okay. It'll either continue to pull to the right, which means, yes, we have an issue, or it'll go straight down the road which is what we want.
Right.
Or it'll pull left, which means it's got a tire problem.
Right.
That's it. And Discount can fix the tire problem.
Right.
And we're home free. That's right. What I would do.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
All right, good
I
luck.
Thought so.
All right, 602-508-0960. Who's the one that we've got holding?
We got Paul on the line.
Paul, you stay there, buddy, because you're going to be first. So we're going to take a quick break, which should be about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and then we're going to talk to Paul. But we've got four open lines, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. You'll notice I didn't ask him the name of the shop.
Yeah.
I don't want to know the
name
of the
shop. No, right,
yeah. And he didn't offer the name, and if it would have been mine, he probably would have named him, and that would have been okay. But it's not one of mine. It's just we need a second opinion before we start to, and it sounds a whole lot like guessing to me. We'll be back right after this. Mustang Sally. This is for Dave for his 69 Mustang. Guess you better slow your Mustang down. Well, you better get it running first, Dave, before you can slow it down. But I'm pretty sure a 69 Mustang Mach 1 is plenty fast enough. And that's when we used to have just raw power created by horsepower. By dumping as much fuel into that thing as we could. With fuel injection cars, things have changed a little bit, and it's quite as easy to make them as fast as the old cars. But most of the time when we take a fuel injection car and make it go faster, it's because we're going to change the programming in the computer and lie to the computer about certain inputs so the computer thinks. For instance, if we tell the computer that the engine's 40 below, it'll turn on the choke, which is turn on the injectors and make them run like a fire hose. So it doesn't make any difference if it's really 110 degrees outside. If we tell the computer that the engine is 40 below zero, the computer will overfuel the engine, which on a hot day will make it run pretty good. And you can actually do that with a toggle switch and a couple pieces of wire, but I'm not going to tell you how to do it. So you'll have to figure it out yourself. Alrighty, this portion of Underhood is brought to you by Action Auto Repair, family owned and operated. It's Deer Valley, serving Deer Valley and North Phoenix since 1983, and I've known Tom since 1978. Tom and his team strive to provide the best automotive service and repair experience possible. Their technicians are ASE Master certified, so they're really good in diagnostic and the repair, and then verifying the repair is correct. So they want to help you as car owners understand exactly what Action Auto is doing throughout the entire process, and that's why they want you to have that information so that you can make informed decisions. Action Auto and Tom, the owner, is located at I-17 in Deer Valley, northwest corner. Paul, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Yeah, Mark, I recently bought a 2001 Dodge Dakota with a 4.7 V8, and it has about 55,000 miles. Don't think the plugs were ever changed, so I went online to see what they said about it. And they were saying to put in, it was best to put in the same plug as that came out of there, or else you might end up with pre-ignition. And I kind of wondered what your opinion was of that.
Do you remember what kind of spark plugs it called for?
No, I have no way of knowing. They've never been changed as far as I know. So the online site simply said, you best put in, and they said generally it's Champion, and they gave the number. And your best put those in, or you might end up with pre-ignition. Have you ever run into that?
Well, pre-ignition means we're going to ignite the fuel charge before the spark plug does. And we typically do that by having something that glows bright red in the cylinder. So if the spark plug is too hot, then it can actually pre-ignite the fuel before the spark plug creates a spark to ignite the fuel. Does that make sense?
I understand that.
Okay.
They were even emphasizing brand. Stay with the same brand because it could be an issue. What I'm wondering.
All right. It's not a brand issue. It's an appropriate cross-reference of what you pull out of there. First of all, you're probably going to pull out of there some Mopar spark plugs. So you can go into a Champion book, and I happen to be a big Champion fan. I like Champion for a whole lot of reasons, and I've liked Champion since 1968. I've had the opportunity to put lots of spark plugs in lots of cars, and the customers trust me to make the best decision. Now, there are times that I don't use Champion. Like in a double platinum environment, I typically won't use a Champion. But in your case, you can look up at your 4.7 liter in a Champion book or in a Motocraft book, or who's some of the other spark plugs? NGK, Denso. You can look it up in any of those catalogs and find out what they say goes for your car. Pre-ignition is you're gonna have to make a really, really dumb mistake to find a spark plug that's gonna cause pre-ignition.
Okay, so they were a little bit off on that one.
Well, and then I'm gonna answer your other question. Your other question to me is, Mark, have you ever heard of pre-ignition? And the answer is, I've heard it. Now, how many times have I seen it? Maybe I see pre-ignition by the wrong spark plug once every 3 years, and we process 10,000 cars a year. So one out of 30,000 cars, I might see pre-ignition that we can cure by changing the spark plug and changing the cross-reference.
That okay, answer. And what kind of a job, to have that done, what would I be looking at?
Well, if it's a V8 and all the spark plugs are somewhat accessible, you're probably talking about...
Well, no, it's a V8, but it has a coilover pack.
Oh, so we're going to have to take all the coils off, and there's no wires, and there's boots, and you're going to want to replace the boots.
Right.
So I'm thinking you're probably going to be in the $200 to $300 range.
Okay.
And that's 8 spark plugs, 8 boots, with dielectric, with an examination of the coil, and not breaking any of the coils or having any of the brackets crumble on you.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
Can I ask you one more
question? Sure, sure.
Windshield glass. Is there a big difference in the quality of windshield glass when you change a windshield?
They're going to tell you there is, but there's a little sticker in the corner of the window that certifies the glass as being appropriate for the car. So they are going to tell you, just like good, better, best, and all that other kind of stuff. I would stick with a company that has an A rating at the Better Business Bureau. If you're going to have your windshield replaced, stick with them. And you might even call your insurance agent, and if he recommends Allen's windshields, that means he has a relationship with Allen. That means if your windshield leaks water 6 months from now, the agent's going to call Allen and say, hey, Mark or Paul's windshield's leaking water. You just replaced it. Would you take care of it? And if Allen depends on your agent for a lot of work, he's not going to say no. So yeah. That's why I think the agent is an important link.
The thickness of the glass and so forth doesn't vary, then,
no.
What you're saying?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Good luck to you, Paul. Thank you very much.
We've been doing a fair amount of windshields lately, and I've been asking, hey, what's the difference between OEM glass and aftermarket glass? And sometimes it's $10, and sometimes it's $175.
But there's no difference in the actual glass.
No,
it's
no,
just
no,
the
no.
Cost of the glass.
Yeah, correct, correct. So you know it, but it does vary from factory. But yeah, no. As far as the glass, I've never had any issues either way.
Well, and then
some people have to have the Ford logo.
Yep.
Some people have to have the Ford logo. Yep. Our Edge has a special windshield. The tinner actually broke mine inadvertently, but ours has the Ford one has what's called a sound screen in it, the windshield, and but the aftermarket one didn't. But there was like a $200 difference in it. So
He pay for it? The windshield, or did you pay for it? Who paid for the broken windshield on your truck? Your Edge.
The insurance.
Okay.
Yeah, insurance.
Right. And see, there's kind of you bring up a good point. When you're faced with those kinds of dilemmas, the best thing to do is get your insurance company involved, because if they're seasoned in this kind of an issue and they say, Alan, we already know about the sound screen on the Edge windshield. Yes, it's $200 and we accept that.
Right.
It's okay. Go ahead. That's right. What they're going to say.
Right.
Now, if he says that this keeps aliens from looking at your face, all right, then the insurance company is going to say, Alan, tell us who you hired to replace your glass so we can put them on this stupid list.
Right.
That's what they're going to say.
Right.
All righty. 602-508-0960.
Phone number.
602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. There are 5 lines available right now. And if you're outside the Phoenix metropolitan area, if you're up in Payson, 888-960-9696. So remember, 960-9696, toll free, and Jeremy's going to move you to the front of the line because you're calling in on the 888 number. But if you live in Phoenix, you can call in on the 88 number and tell him you're in Siberia, and Jeremy won't know the difference, so it's okay. However you want to do it. 2 phone numbers, 602-508-0960. Jeremy, I didn't think you were allowed to use language like that on the Christian station. He's talking to me in my ear. Can you hear him?
Yep, I sure can.
602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Clock. Mark and Allen here at your service. We've got two lines available, 602-508-0960. Here's another attaboy, and I really like them. I like to read them. I just want to let you know I had used one of your recommended repair shops, and I had a great experience. I picked them from your list because I trust your opinion and the fact, as you said, all of their techs are certified. Thank you for honoring me with that sentence. Now, he continues on. I had an issue with my 2007 Audi A4 2.0 turbo throwing several codes, and after exhausting what repair knowledge I had when I went online and the public library and stuff, I called IMM Import in Tempe. I spoke to Dave. I didn't want to use or to have a shop start throwing parts at it because I could do that. I explained my issue, and Dave fully explained their diagnostic process and how they would address my issues. I towed my car to the IMM in Tempe, and they were able to diagnose and repair it beautifully. It turned out to be two relays underneath the computer that were causing a voltage drop to several components. They had to reprogram the shift points because one of those relays controlled the transmission shifting. My car runs perfectly. What other shops could not do, Dave and his techs at IMM Imports did for a reasonable amount of time and a very reasonable cost. Great job, guys. Thank you very much, Mark V. We've talked about IMM before. IMM likes these cars. Swedish, Italian, Asian. So Volvo, Saab, Fiat, Alfa Romeo, and many other imports like Audis, like Toyotas and Hondas, they like those cars. But the cars that make the rest of us shake in our boots, like Saabs, Fiats, and Alfa Romeos, they love those, and they really know how to work on those. So if you have an Audi, if you have a Volvo, a Saab, a Fiat, an Alfa Romeo, anything that's Swedish, Italian, or Asian, then IMM Imports is the place you should go. And they're in northeast Tempe, near where the 101 and the 202 meet. It's south and west of that intersection. All righty, Adam, good morning to you, buddy. How can we help you this morning?
Yeah, I was wondering, I switched over to full synthetic, and I was wondering, do I still need to change it at its normal interval, or can I go longer?
No, there's three kinds of oil. Conventional is just standard oil, and that's a 3,000 to 4,000 mile interval. A blended oil or a semi-synthetic is 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, and a full synthetic is 8 and up. So, how many miles a year do you drive?
About 12,000.
Then I would change it once a year in April. I would say to myself, I'm going to do it in April, which is right before the blistering summers in the hell known as Phoenix. And then I'm going to go through the summer months with fresh oil, so I'm going to do it once a year, and I do it in April. Now, 12,000 miles is on the top end of my comfort zone. I want you to at least promise that you'll check the oil every other oil change, where you'll pull the stick and make sure that you aren't low.
Not every other oil change.
No, every yeah. other fill up. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I have a second part to that question.
Okay.
Now, do I have to buy the oil filter? I noticed they have different ones. One that goes up to like 15,000 miles. Do I need to buy the more premium filter for that?
No,
or
no, not at all. I said earlier in the show, I've seen maybe two oil filters completely plugged up and where they're bypassing 100% of the time. And I'm told by the filter manufacturers that you would have to abuse your car and perhaps change the oil maybe once or twice in the first 50,000 miles to create enough trash to cause the oil filter to plug up.
Okay.
So if you have been changing your oil on a regular basis and the engine oil in your car is not muddy, then you have nothing to be concerned about. And if I were you, I'd buy the cheapest oil filter on the market or on the shelf.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. And that's a great question, because there is a difference in oil change intervals between conventional, semi-synthetic, and full-blown synthetic. On your truck, what do you change your oil?
I usually change about 10 or 12,000.
Okay. You know, my new Dodge, it was 15 on the button when the light came on.
Right.
15. Now, I'm waiting to see whether that was in the computer protocol that I drove, my driving created that, because now I'm doing a lot more city driving, so I'm thinking that it's not going to go on again at 30.
Not that high, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm using a full synthetic. I'm using a 540. Well, you put it in, 540?
Yeah, 540.
Yeah. All righty. Larry, good morning to you, buddy. What can we do
for
you?
How you doing?
Good.
I have a question.
Phone number.
85 El Camino with about 220,000 miles on it. And in the past year, I've been doing this deal where I switch the alternator and the battery about every 3 months.
Okay.
They tell me the battery's dead, then they tell me the alternator's bad.
Okay.
And I bought lifetime warranty, and I think that means I'm going to spend the rest of my lifetime changing the alternator. So, I guess I'm asking if you can recommend a brand of alternator that's better than what I've been buying.
It's not the alternator.
Okay.
Here's why I object to this kind of a deal. Now, I'm not mad at you. Don't misunderstand me.
Right, right.
When you take you test everything in the car.
Where
we never take it out of the car. You test the battery in the car. You test the alternator in the car. And there isn't a shop in town that doesn't have a computerized alternator, regulator, starter, shorts and draws piece of equipment that they're not going to do a complete analysis. And they're going to be master technicians or ASC certified technicians, and they aren't going to be a three-whiskered kid that got out of high school day before yesterday. So when you look at all of this, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. We had a Ford just like this not too long ago. And the shop foreman who's been with me 26, 27 years.
Yeah.
He's been with me. He comes in, he goes, "I got it." And I said, "Come on." I said, "You're bragging." He goes, "No, I'm not. Come on out here." He says, "Now, put your hand on the alternator." So I do. And he says, "Now turn your head the other way and don't look at me." I said, "Okay." He says, "Is the alternator charging right now?" And I says, "I don't think so." And he goes, "How about now?" And I go, "Oh, it was charging and you just uncharged it." Because now I can feel the difference. Number one, there was a vibration and I could feel the alternator working. When you pulled the power to it, then the alternator went into neutral and the vibration wasn't there anymore. So I can feel it. So now it's off. He goes, "Okay, just you go on and off, on and off." I say, "Fine." So he goes on and I say, "Nope, it's charging." Off. So I said, "What's the matter?" He goes, "The plug's bad." That could easily be your problem too. It could be a bad plug. It could be how it's wired. What part of town do you live in?
I'm up at Northwest, 43rd Avenue and Greenway.
43rd Avenue in Greenway.
I was thinking of Kurtz.
Kurtz, oh heck yes. And you know what? When you go into Kurtz, say, "Mark Salem bets you can't find and fix my problem." Tell him that.
Okay.
All right, tell him $10 says that you can't fix this.
Okay, I'll tell him.
All right, and I'm telling you, he's going to find a bad connection. He's going to find a missing ground wire. He's going to find a bad negative cable. He's going to find something that explains why you're replacing all this all the time.
Well, that's what I was getting to, but okay. You know, I have had insanity in the past, so.
I know, and you, me too. You learn from your mistakes, and so people say, "Well, you're always beating up on the three-whiskered kid," and I said, "Heck no, I am the three-whiskered kid." All right, thank you very much. Sorry. Chuck, you stay there. 602-508-0960, the lines are wide open. We'll be right back.
On the road again. Just can't wait
just
to get on
playing,
the road
Jeremy.
Again.
Just keep her playing.
The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
That song should paint a picture of maybe in your motorhome and you're heading away from Phoenix for a week or two or three, or you're on your motorcycle, maybe you're on horseback, maybe you're just walking out the front door saying, "I'm going to go to the local cantina," whatever, that's worth it. 46 minutes after 11 o'clock, my name is Mark Salem. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Automatic Transmission Exchange, ATE. They've been rebuilding transmissions in the Phoenix area since 1968. Phil and his staff are transmission, diagnostic, and repair experts. They have trained technicians who know exactly what makes a transmission work and how to make one better. Once a transmission is completed, it goes through a complete series of tests, and it's attached to a new machine that virtually guarantees the transmission will operate and not leak. So if you live in Central Phoenix area, or anywhere for that matter, Automatic Transmission Exchange is located at 40th Street in Washington. If you will go up and down Washington, you look for Automatic Transmission Exchange, ATE, and you'll say they have been there a long time, especially those of you that go in and out of the core of the city for Suns games and stuff like that. You go down Washington, you'll know they've been there a very, very long time. All right, let's go to Chuck. Chuck, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Good morning to you. Well, I wanted first to compliment you on your suggestion that I use Tom Fletcher. He gave me a quote on some front-end work, did the job expertly, and the price was to the penny.
That's wonderful to hear, buddy.
Then I've got a couple of other things. I talked to you a few months ago, and I had a problem with the transmission in my 99 Grand Cherokee Laredo. And I took it to a shop, and I had big-time problems, and I told you the name of them. Do you not want the name?
Well, are you going to say something nice or something not so nice?
Not so nice.
Then don't say their name, please.
Okay.
Tell us what city they're in.
They're in Glendale.
Okay, okay.
And I ended up, after having not so nice a experience there, I went to Tony at, he was Sun City Transmission. He changed the name to Tony's Five Star.
Uh-huh.
And he was suggesting that you don't ever mention him. And he was great. You know, the difference between the two shops was unbelievable.
Okay, now, are you talking about Sun Transmission on Grand and 83rd Avenue?
No, this is on 92nd Avenue and, well, roughly Peoria.
Okay. If I don't say anything about him, it's because he's not on my list. Now, if I have two transmission shops in the northwest quadrant, I have Adolph's at 867th Avenue in Glendale, and then I have Sun Transmission at Grand and 83rd. I allow each shop to have a circle around them that I won't stack shops in on top of them, but if you would like to nominate this other transmission shop that made you happy, you can do that at marksalem.com.
Okay.
Now, people do that a lot. I then do a complete... First thing I do is I call the Better Business Bureau. I get their records. I ask them for some information. How many techs do you have? Are you certified? What's the name of your insurance company? Stuff like that. And then I will ask the transmission shops around him, do you have any objections? Is this a geographical area that's uncovered? Now, a couple of times, shops won't like someone in their backyard. But most of the time, the transmission shops will say, I like him. He'll be a valuable asset.
Okay.
So I can't tell you whether he's going to pass the filter I'm going to put him through, but he also has to promise that he's going to take care of customers' complaints and that he's going to participate in the dispute resolution process that I've created for all my shops, which is nothing more than what the Better Business Bureau does, and I sat on their board for 25 years.
Okay.
So I'm familiar with the right way to handle a complaint, and I trust the Better Business Bureau to do that. So some shops don't want to do that. Now, there's also a fee associated with being on my list, which helps compensate the radio station for the time I spend talking about them.
Gotcha.
So this isn't an income stream. As a matter of fact, we just had our annual meeting the other day, and we're running about $500 behind every week, 52 weeks a year, between money coming in and money coming out. But I've been blessed in ways I can't imagine why. And when I get to the pearly gates, the first question I'm going to ask is, in spite of what I've done in my younger life, are you going to let me in? And the second question is did I make up any gains in my later life? So I've been blessed, and it's okay. We can handle it. But I would be interested in that. So if you would go to the Mark Salem, and then you click on Best Car Repair Shops, and then go down on that page, and there's a nomination area there, and there's a nomination form. You can print it and then fill it out and fax it to us if that's what you want, and I'll look into it.
Dynamite.
Okay.
Let me hold you one more second.
Okay.
Caller Sue.
in that same last call, I asked you simply, I said, how old are you? And my reason for asking is I'm, as you say, gray hair out of the nose. And,
uh-huh.
And I certainly qualify for that. And you seemed like I upset you.
Oh, not at all. I apologize. I would never. First of all, I just turned 60 day before yesterday.
Okay.
I was born in 54.
You're a kid.
And I'm not offended. I've decided though that I am not going to tell people I'm 60. I'm just going to add the numbers, the two numbers together. So when I was 59, I was 14, and now I'm just 6. And a friend of mine, Eric, he's 63, so he's 9. And so we're just going to tell people if the total of our numbers is 6, I could be 42, I could be 51, you know. So you can ask anybody that knows me, I act like I'm 10,
yes.
And sometimes I talk like I'm like I shouldn't. And so everybody holds their breath when Mark gets wound up on the radio for fear of he's going to say something that I'm not supposed to say. But no, I want to talk about gray-haired technicians with gray hair in their nose and their ears because I want to paint a picture of the guy that is best suited to work on your car. It's not that the young guys can't, but our radio show is around problems.
Yeah.
And the diagnostic process is best served. So when you go to the doctor and you need him to remove a wart, it doesn't make any difference if he's 30 or if he's 60. But if you go to a doctor because every morning at 9 o'clock you get a ringing in your ears until 9:17, you're probably going to want the senior son of a gun to be in front of you.
Gotcha.
Because he's been there, done that. And that's the purpose. But no, you didn't hurt my feelings.
I wanted to apologize if I did. I enjoy your show very much, and you couldn't have steered me any better than Tom Fletcher.
Okay, so. Well, thank you for that, and apology is not needed because you didn't offend. And really, if people cross me, sometimes I bite back to my negative. I'm not shy about raising my hand and saying you just stepped on my toes, but you didn't do that. So you go away, go in peace, and don't worry about it because I have not blackballed Chuck, who loves Tom Fletcher like I love Tom Fletcher. So thank you very much for calling in, Chuck. Thank you very much, Sue. Good morning to you. How can we help you?
Good morning to you, Mark.
Thank you.
Sadly, I am leaving Phoenix and I'm moving to Texas.
Uh huh.
And I'm thinking about towing my car behind a U-Haul truck.
Okay.
I'm wondering what kind of advice you would give to people who are thinking of towing their cars.
Well, what kind of car is it?
It's a 2006 Honda Pilot.
Okay. So is it front-wheel drive?
I think so.
Yep. And you're going to put the front wheels in the dolly. Let me tell you that my sister Melinda, who's 2 years younger than I am,
uh-huh.
Just recently moved down from Boise, Idaho, and she drove a U-Haul herself with her, I think she has 28 or 29 dogs and cats and birds.
Oh, gosh.
Hold on just a minute. Hold on.
Yeah. And that's probably a conservative number.
And she drove her own U-Haul, and she pulled her own car. And I was so impressed with her internal fortitude and her self-confidence and here's something else. She made Boise to Phoenix in 24 hours.
Oh my God.
So and the last time she moved from Texas to Phoenix. So she's well versed at that, and I'm quite sure. Here's what I'm telling you. I want the tires in the vehicle put at the maximum inflation that's written on the side of the tire.
Okay.
And I want to make absolutely sure that the parking brake is off, and you have to build a little sign that you put on the steering wheel that says check the parking brake, because if you drag that thing with the parking brake applied, you'll blow both back tires right off of it.
Okay.
So the front tires are going to be, the steering wheel is going to be locked up, you're going to strap it down, and there's no problems. And know this, that when you make a turn with a dolly, that the dolly and the vehicle in the dolly typically follows in the tracks
2 minutes.
The truck.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to swing a little bit wide, but you don't have to go crazy. But my advice is just air up the tires. Make sure that you properly strap it in. And most people will strap it in here, and U-Haul will help them.
And yeah, then, no, I talked to them, and I can I will definitely pay to get it done. There's no way I could do it.
And then you're going to, but you're not going to unstrap it till you get there. Where are you going to move in Texas?
A little town called Bernie. It's close to Austin.
Okay. All right. We go to Kerrville a lot, which is on the Interstate 10.
Right. And, it's close by.
Yep. And we go to Kerrville because we like the horses, and my wife likes Fredericksburg. And
that's close by, too.
Yeah.
What, does she want to go with me?
You know what? How much would it cost me to send her with you? It'd be cheaper having her go with you than sending her there the next time and then bringing the U-Haul back full of furniture that she bought. You know, this could be a deal. This could be a deal.
Okay.
Anyway, well, God bless you, Sue, on your move. And just drive slow, 55, 65 miles an hour, and just always know that that thing's behind you, and just kind of keep an eye on it, okay?
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right. Well, God bless you, Sue. Thank you very much for calling. My email address is mark@marksalem.com, mark with a K, at marksalem, Salem like the cigarette.com. I'll take your questions anytime you've got them. If you have a complaint, I'm happy to hear it. And if it's about my shop, I'm happy to hear it. I'll deal with it. I'll help you the best I can. If you want to tell me the shop's name, that's fine. If you don't want to tell me the shop's name, that's fine, too. My advice to you isn't going to change. So wear your seatbelt, don't drink and drive.